Bruce Williamson is from the campaign group Rail Futures. Joins me now. Bruce, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So when it comes to strike action, I guess what you want from any announcement is you want newspaper headlines, tick, and you want to inflict as much misery on the people who use your service, also tick.
Yeah, well, from the union's point of view, you mean?
Yes.
Well, interestingly, the fact that it's Christmas always grabs the headline because you get, and it's the same with engineering works, you get this story about, you know, travellers wanting to go home for the, you know, the holiday season or whatever. But actually, it's a relatively quiet time for the railways. The maximum impact would be had during the normal commuter rush, actually. But nonetheless, there isn't a quiet time of year for the railway, and it will have an impact.
And is there any new news as to why this strike is taking place, or is it simply because there has been no progress in previous talks and therefore now is the time to strike in order to have a maximum impact?
Yeah, got it in one, really. The talks appear to be deadlocked. I haven't heard of any progress. This one has been dragging on for years and years and years, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate, really, and it's extra annoying in that this issue is only, it seems, deadlocked on one or two franchises, because it has been resolved on other franchises around the country. So you wonder what's going on here. Why can't they reach an agreement? Because we know it's possible.
Now, we seem to have a number of different issues, though, because we've got Southwestern Rail workers, so they're looking at this strike potentially to reinvigorate their campaign over the this Christmas weekend. But then also we've got situations where rail unions are taking a look at some of the pensions and saying that the pensions are not good enough, and that seems to be slightly wider possible strike action to support those.
Yeah, inevitably, these stories get ever more complex, don't they? Yeah, the pensions one, I'll be honest, I wasn't aware of, but the guards one, you know, it's about the role of guards. And I think what the sort of sticking point is the train operating companies or Southwest Train want the option to say, well, look, if there aren't any guards available and under what they call exceptional circumstances, then the train can operate without the guard on it. And the unions feel that that's the thin end of the wedge. And, well, they can just use that, you know, that exceptional circumstances excuse any time, and eventually we'll have trains running around with guards on them, without guards on them routinely. And they're not happy about that. And, you know, we have some sympathy with that, really. The human presence aspect, I think, is very important to passengers, whether it's at the station or on the train itself.
So if one was a Southwestern Railway customer, we're talking about Berkshire, Surrey, Hampshire, Dorset, Devon, Somerset and Wiltshire. Are there alternatives that you can use to travel on the rails, presumably out of Paddington and GWR is possibly your alternative, although I suspect that any train that they operate is going to be doubly busy.
Well, indeed. I mean, there are, you know, a few examples of where different train operating companies reach the same destination, like, you know, Exeter is one example. But they are sort of fairly few and far between, because the franchises tend to operate a fairly big patch. Of course, you know, the railways are always in competition with other modes of transport, though. You know, there's the coach, the car, the airplane in some examples as well, and even for shorter journeys, walking and cycling. But, yeah, it will have a big impact on those people who want to use the train to get to particular destinations.
What is the chance that this will be settled by the time that this particular weekend arrives, or do you think that we should set for train travel misery?
Well, I think we should plan the what's the old phrase? You know, expect the unexpected, or failing to plan is planning to fail. I think that's the phrase I'm struggling to find there. But, you know, miracles can happen, can't they? We can hope for the best, but, I mean, really, who knows? Who knows?
And let me just ask you about these new timetables. We obviously saw what I can only describe as my favourite word to describe when something goes wrong, a fiasco. We certainly had a fiasco when the new timetables were brought in earlier in the year. They're trying to bring us up to date with various different new timetables now. Are we going to see disasters, or have these been thought through slightly more effectively than last time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you were right to describe May's fiasco just as just that. It really was terrible, wasn't it? But I think the train operating companies and Network Rail and so on have learnt their lesson. I'm pretty confident it won't be a disaster this time round. Firstly, because they got so badly stung and they got it so badly wrong last time. And secondly, you know, because they're introducing much more subtle changes. They're much, much less drastic, so there's much, much less to go wrong, really. I think if you're making modest changes, it's easier to manage.
And so we're seeing some slightly more modest changes, but presumably, whilst Brexit is going on and various other things are at the fore, to be honest, rail travel and rail problems are not necessarily going to be at the top of the government's agenda to deal with. So I'm not expecting any quick solutions to any of these problems.
Certainly, I'd agree. Yeah, no quick solutions. Although, you know, Chris Grayling, you know, the press are very quick to make hay out of this one and things go wrong. So I think Chris Grayling feels he's under pressure here. So even though Brexit is quite clearly the top of the government's agenda, that doesn't mean that other issues just go away. You know, and things have a habit of not going the government's way. So this might be another sort of spanner in the works for the government.
And I guess my last point to you is just to say, you know, can anybody justify the latest round of fare rises, which appear to be on the way, on the basis that the service appears not to be getting any better?
Well, no, I think you can't justify the rail fare increases, even if we hadn't had this fiasco in May. I mean, one of the things we've been campaigning for a long, long time is the measure of inflation that they use to calculate rail fares, which is RPI, which, as you probably know, is higher than CPI, which the government claims is their favourite. And, you know, that means that the rail fares are going up more and more and more and taking an ever greater chunk out of people's wages and incomes. And it's unfair, really. They're pricing people off the railways, particularly when you contrast that to fuel duty, which has been frozen for, I think, 8 years now. So, you know, there's a double standard on the part of the government.
That certainly is. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. That's Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Futures, talking not only about rail price rises and timetables.